This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hey listeners, my name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. Hey Rich, how are you?
I am doing so well. Super excited about today's podcast. This is one of these things I've been thinking about and chewing out a bunch here. So we're just going to jump right in.
Yeah.
Today's article is titled, Seven Early Warning Signs That Your Church Has a Front Door Problem.
This is exciting. I think this is going to help a lot of listeners.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I've been thinking about recently is, you know, how do you know if we aren't attracting enough people to our churches? You know, we know 80%+ of churches are, you know, in plateau or decline. You know, the number we've shared in the past is 94% of all churches are losing ground against the growth of the churches, the communities they're in. So we know that lots of churches are struggling. But how do I know kind of early warning that that's happening, or what would be some of that evidence? So what I've tried to do is talk about that and really talk about this kind of front door versus back door problem.
And this comes a lot from conversations that you're having with church leaders. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I do think, yes. So for sure. So I think a lot of church leaders, so we got into this because we care for people. You know, we love people, and we're typically people. Like, we love being with people. We love seeing people get connected. And so I think oftentimes we're naturally bent towards the back door, which is, you know, our systems, approaches, and community that enable people to stay in churches over the long term. Like, we don't have to convince people. In fact, actually, in this conversation, I think there's probably an inherent bias that thinking about the backdoor stuff is actually more spiritual, that in some ways it's like it's the thing what we should be doing. But actually, the front door, which is really our ability to attract new visitors to our church, people who have never been here, it's like in some ways we look down on that. And so what I'm trying to do here is to pull these two apart and say, hey, you know, you may have a front door problem at your church. I've tried to give some signs of that. And basically, you know, there's seven things we talk about here. You know, I would say if you have more than three of these, you've got a front door problem. You need to look at, what are you doing to attract people to your church? How is it that you're getting enough people to even just walk in the front door? And what that's going to mean is you probably have to focus less on the back door, which I know, you know, concerns people, but you just don't have unlimited amount of time. So that's really what I'm trying to do here, is provide a metric, give you some stuff to think about. Again, as we go through these, be thinking, you know, is that happening in my church? Is that not happening? And I would say, you know, if you have three of these or more, then I would think you've got a front door problem.
And if that is the case, what can our listeners do? Like, it's easy to identify that there's, you know, they resonate with some of these signs, but what would be the next step?
Well, let's talk about it that at the end.
Okay.
But the great next step would be to get the church growth flywheel. I know that sounds like crazy, like I'm trying to sell my book.
The plug.
But it's true. Like, I think at the end of the day, that book was all about trying to help people increase the invitability of their church, which at the end of the day, we know 80%+ of the people who will come to our churches for the first time come because people invite them. And so, you know, if you've got a front door problem, I would say the best way to try to solve that is to work on invitability, to work on how do we encourage our people to invite friends. So, you know, I would think that should be high priority, and doesn't need to be doing that, but that's really where you should be spending your time.
Well, let's not chew on that too much, because we can hold the suspense until
nice.
The end.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a
good
funny.
Way to set it up, eh?
Yeah, funny.
So why don't we start working through some of the warning signs?
Sure,
so the
absolutely.
First one we list here is low first-time guest numbers.
Yeah. So it's amazing to me. I was talking to a church recently who was approaching a fairly significant ceiling. So they were growing to 2,000 people, and they kept bumping up against the 2,000 barrier, which, again, most of the people who are listening to the podcast are like, man, I would love to be bumping up against the 2,000 barrier. But this church leader was fairly frustrated and like, oh man, I don't know. How can we get over that? And actually, I only asked them two questions. And the first question I asked was, tell me about your first-time guest numbers. And one of the things I discovered pretty quickly was that this church again, of almost 2,000 people had this was averaging the same amount of first time guests that we see for churches of between 300 and 500. So they had radically small numbers of first time guests coming to their church. And so the example, the rule of thumb that we use, that I would say is a good rule of thumb, Tony Morgan, another church consultant, he uses number. It's kind of one of those benchmarks, the rule of thumb that's been used by a lot of leaders over the year, is that you should be averaging the same number of first-time guests in an entire year as you do in attendance on a weekend. So if your church has 200 people on an average weekend, then you should be averaging at least four first-time guests every weekend. And if you're not averaging four a weekend with a church of 200, then something's wrong. You need to track this information closely, obviously. You look at it for 4 to 6 months and then average it out, try to figure out where that's at. But if an early warning sign that things aren't going well on the front door is you simply just don't have enough first-time guests.
So another warning sign we have here is you have room on big days.
Okay, yes. So the building you're in shouldn't work on Christmas Eve. It shouldn't work on Easter. You know, on those days, you should be aiming for two, if not three times your normal Sunday morning attendance. Now, I know there are people who are listening in who just gasped. They're like, oh my goodness, there's no way we can do that. You should be able to do that. Those days, particularly those two big days, Christmas and Easter, in most communities across the country, we should be seeing that kind of attendance, which what that means is your building, you shouldn't have, hopefully your building is not half empty or, you know, two thirds empty on most Sundays. And so if you have empty seats or you have a tremendous amount of empty seats on those days, then you're just simply not attracting enough people in on those big days. So, you know, we need to work on those big days because those big days are about attracting new people. It's about getting out in front of folks and kind of creating opportunities to see them come and connect.
So little pastoral messiness.
Okay, so if people are coming to your church for the first time, if you have good throughput on the front end of your church, you're going to have problems pastorally. Because people from outside your church are messy. Now, that doesn't mean to say that everyone outside the church is messy. In fact, I think people outside the church and inside the church have about the same amount of messiness in their lives. But for whatever reason, people inside the church seem to do a better job covering it up. But folks that are new coming into your church and, you know, they're that stuff seems to bubble more to the surface. So the question I would ask you is, when was the last time you know, you had to use your pastoral gift for an issue that you've never seen before? So when was the last time you had, maybe you've never, you know, had to interact with someone from the LGBTQ community? When was the last time you had to do that? Or maybe, you know, maybe it's been a long time since you've had to walk someone through, you know, a divorce, or, you know, insert whatever the issue is. But if you're not seeing pastoral messiness on a regular basis, my question for you would be, I think you just don't have enough people coming in through the front
door.
That's
a really challenging question too. That's good.
Thank you.
I like this next point. No one is complaining. That kills me.
All right. So one of my mentors early on in ministry, which I've often thought about this and I've thanked him for this because I keep coming back to this lots, is, you know, if you don't have at least 10% of your church upset with you, you know, you're probably not doing anything innovative. And I think that's true. Although the number may be inaccurate, I think the principle stands that, you know, you can't be doing things that are growing and reaching people and have everyone like them. And this is increasingly true as you get older. Actually, the older you get, and I was talking with a leader actually just this weekend about this, because I was in complimenting him on this, because this, you know, this leader would be 10 years my senior, maybe even a little bit older than that. And is very comfortable with, like, hey, the church should not make this person comfortable. There, it should be different, and we should be trying things that we've never done before. And so what that's going to do is that's going to push some people's buttons, and which means you're going to get complaints. And so if you've never had anyone complain that the music is too loud, then you're not doing it right. If you've never had someone say, you know what, like that thing was just a little too edgy that you tried, then, you know, we're not reaching hard enough to try to connect with people in our community. If no one's complaining, you're just simply not reaching out.
Little community interaction is another warning sign.
Yeah. So churches that are making a difference, that are impacting, you know, they do end up, you know, bumping into their community around them. And sometimes it's actually kind of in a semi-negative way. So like if you're causing traffic problems on a Sunday morning, that's a bad thing for your town, but it's a great thing for your church. You know, if the town officials are a little bit concerned because there's like way too many people attending on a Sunday morning, or, you know, they're, it's pushing the level of your permits, then, you know, that's good for your church. You know, it's obviously a bit of a problem for the town. But if you're not having people asking you those questions on a regular basis, or you're not having any interaction, if people in your community don't notice you're there at all, and have any interaction with you at all, then, you know, that's an early warning sign. You know, you're, the church by definition, you know, should hopefully be making a difference. And that sometimes causes a bit of agitation. Obviously I've kind of phrased this in the negative, but you know, the other part of that is if your church isn't making a positive impact in its community around you, if you're not serving the community, if you're not, regularly getting requests from the town about, hey, can you help with this? Or could you interact with that issue? Then you could have a front door problem. You're simply just not reaching out enough.
So we're going to talk about online traffic being flat. And so I want to ask you a question about this before we get into it. What if a church didn't have an online presence? Is that a thing? Like, I know we're in like kind of a modern age here, but is that...
No, it's true.
Are there churches that aren't online?
It is true. You know what? It's interesting you say that. So I don't have the statistic at hand, but the last time I looked at that was within the last year, and I saw stats that showed it was somewhere around a quarter, like 25% of churches in America didn't have a website, which is bare minimum to, from my point of view. If people, absolutely, if you can't be found by Google, you just simply don't exist.
Very true.
And that, and in, you know, in the same way that we, there used to be a time where having a great street address was important. But if you're not on Google and you're not findable on Google, then, you know, that's a problem. Now it was, the number was higher for social media presences. So like, I think it was like 40% or something like that. Again, 64% of all statistics are made up, but it was something like that. And yeah, I think that's a problem. You know, the reality of it is that we need to be found online. Our people live in an increasingly online world. I did see statistics this summer that, that the number of people with a cell phone in America has reached, of adults has reached 100%. So the 100%, so there are more cell phones than there are adults in America. So actually what's happening is there are people with multiple cell phones. Now the smartphone penetration is lower, but it's still high. 70 some odd percent of people have a smartphone. So the reality of it is if you're not online, you know, you're not found. Now, in this point, it kind of was a part of what I talk about there. If your online traffic is flat, that's a problem. You know, if, and whatever those numbers are, whether it's your, you know, podcast downloads, if you're, you know, your social interactions, your web traffic, whatever you're, however you're online, if it's flat or in decline, that is an early indicator that you aren't reaching out to people, that your front door is shrinking, because people check those. We know statistically people check those channels before they arrive on a Sunday morning. And so we need to be looking at those numbers, you know, carefully. I, within the last two, three years, I was at one of those, you know, very large name brand churches that everybody knows in the country. And I happened to be there on a Monday and was saying hi to the lead pastor. And this is like one of those people that everybody knows. And it was just a, like, we popped our heads in, hey, kind of one of those. Mm-hmm. And this was Monday morning. First thing Monday morning, this lead pastor was standing around with their, it was actually their social team, with a large screen TV up, and they were going through, okay, what happened on our channels last week? They were, you know, walking through, okay, what happened on each of those things? And I was like, wow, that's fascinating to me that, you know, first thing out of the gate, you know, here's this pastor who's diving in pretty deep around, like, let's talk about podcast downloads, which most pastors who are listening in today probably don't think about that. And so, yeah, online traffic, if it's flat, that's an early indicator that, you know, things aren't working.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move along to nothing scares you.
Is everything going smoothly at your church? Have you done something recently that scares you? You know, I used to joke that if we've never done anything that could get us fired, you know, recently, then, and I'm not sure who the people are that would fire us, but if we've never done anything recently that, you know, could get us fired, quote unquote, then we're probably not reaching hard enough. We're not going far enough out. And so, you know, in order to reach people, we've got to do things we've never done before. And this means we've got to be willing to take risks. At the end of the day, pushing the front door open wider means taking risk. We've got to do things that might not ultimately succeed. They may hurt us. They might not work. We might lose money. You know, we might lose face with each other, you know, with people in our community. You know, the guys around the corner might not think we're cool anymore. But if we don't do that, and if it's been a long time since we can tell ourselves, oh, like, yeah, we haven't done anything, you know, that really has scared us, then I would say, yeah, we've got a front door problem.
Our last point, questions to determine whether your front door is wide enough.
Yeah. So then in the kind of the wrap up of this article, you know, I just kind of talk through some questions for you to reflect on as a leader. And so, you know, is your front door open wide enough? You know, talking to your team about that, what do we need to do? You know, are we doing everything we can to connect with people within our reach? You know, I think, you know, a big part of, again, recently, I feel like I keep saying this, but recently I was talking to a church leader and I was pushing them pretty hard on some stuff that they need that, you know, hey, we should try different at that the church. And they're like, well, that's pretty intense. Like, that's a lot. And I'm like, yeah, we can't leave anything on the table. Like, we've got to try it all because we're not sure what's going to work. And when we know, once we see the stuff that works and we double down on that. And, you know, I think the third question I talk about here is what needs to change to reach folks that aren't here today. You know, if we look around and say, you know, there's a segment of our community that doesn't come to our church, which I don't get into this. There's not really a diversity part of this, but, you know, there is kind of a diversity angle on this one question, which says if, you know, if you look at your community and you look at your church and if there's a gap between those two, I mean, I need to ask the question, what do we need to change to close that gap? What do we need to do different to reach people who are in our community, but not in our church, and be willing to try something you never tried before?
I think that's a really challenging question to ask yourself too, because you're having to be really honest.
Well, and I think we have to be humble enough to say, like I think our highest goal on that question is to reflect our community. Like we want people for it to feel very much like when you go to whatever the big thing is in your town, going to the mall, going to the football game, whatever it is, that's kind of where everyone gathers, you know, the New Year's Eve fireworks celebration. When people go to that, is that what it feels like at your church on a Sunday morning? And if it doesn't, I think we've got to have an honest question about that. And, you know, and say, okay, well, maybe we need to change some things and be willing to say, we'll try whatever.
Mm-hmm. So let's loop back to the question that I had at the beginning of the podcast is, if a church does have more than 3 warning signs, what can they do?
Well, I think the first is to gather your leaders around, ask some of these questions that are at the bottom of this article to say, hey, mm-hmm. we need to have an honest conversation. You know, scripture points towards pretty clearly a loving God who is constantly seeking out his people. You know, at the end of the day, you know, there's just this one message that repeatedly pounds home, which is a God, like I love that even way back to Genesis, where, you know, Adam and Eve sin and they try to do, which again feels so human, they try to hide from God, right? They go, they cover mm-hmm. themselves, they feel shame and they hide. Well, I love that even at the beginning, God has this graciousness. He doesn't like come down with a big hammer. What does he do? He walks in the cool of the day and calls out for them. He knows where they are. He's like, where are you? Where are you? And you know, right from there all the way through to Revelation, we see a God who ultimately is trying to reconnect with people. And so the question is, do we have that heartbeat as a church? What are we doing to try to connect with the people in our community? What are we doing to make our front door as wide as possible? And then, you know, obviously we joked about it at the beginning. You know, the Church Growth Flywheel book does have a bunch of practical next steps for that. If you went to churchgrowthflywheel.com, you could pick up a copy of that. I've had a lot of churches contact me and say, like, yeah, we started trying this one thing and it's made a difference. I was talking, and this, you know, this is crazy, but like there was a church I was talking, it's a very large church, 6,000 people. They had never done series promotion at all. And you know this, there's a part of the book, it talks mm-hmm. about series promotion. And they reached out this earlier this summer and, you know, they said, you know, we did exactly what you said in your book. First time, we'd never done this before. And we had 600 more people show up for the series that we had promoted than were there for the series before it. It's a 10% bump. And I'm like, that's incredible. Like, and again, that's all credit to them. You know, God's obviously doing something there. It's an amazing church. But their willingness to try something, let's try something different. And that's what I love about that is like, hey, we've never done this before. We're willing to try something new, and see what happens. So that would be, I guess, my encouragement is to say, hey, what is it that you could be trying in your church that you've never done, before? And there's some ideas in there that might help you with
Absolutely.
That. Well, before we sign off, we would love to encourage you to reach out to hear what you've done to open the front door wider at your church. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can see the full article and our other podcasts at unseminary.com.